Welcome to the All Souls Forum here on KKFI. Tonight we feature Richard G. Tripp, and he is going to talk about the homeless and his organization, Care of Poor People, Inc., and also a new homelessness newspaper that he's working on developing in Kansas City. It's going to be an interesting evening. This was recorded on Sunday, May 10th at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. This program had some issues with the recording, the original recording on the site. There were some microphone problems. So please bear with us as we kind of go through the mic problems. I've done my best to clean them up digitally, and hopefully they don't sound too bad. There are some things that are off mic, a little bit off mic, that we had to boost the sound for. So I hope you all will not mind that too much, considering that Mr. Tripp has a lot of interesting and relevant things to say to us tonight. So please settle back and relax, and we will hear all about the amazing life of Richard G. Tripp. Here we go. Let's start with the first introduction.
Opportunity for all of you to hear Richard Tripp. I will tell you that you'll all be duly impressed with his talk, but what we should all be impressed with is how he walks the walk. And we'll hear some of that quite a bit. Richard, as you will hear, speaks from experience when he talks about the plight of the homeless, and you know, from real experience, from true real life experience. And he's been featured in a few of the Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and he's shared the stage with motivational speakers such as Tony Robbins. And he's just an outstanding guy, and I'm really honored to know him and have this opportunity to introduce him. So please welcome Richard Tripp.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, that's more like it. I'm Richard Tripp. I'm the director of a little bit. with the organization called Care for People. Now, I wasn't always the director. Matter of fact, COP didn't exist when I started. About 35 years ago, I was driving a cab and I hurt my back. And I ended up losing everything. I ended up living under the Broadway Bridge. I'm sure most people here are aware of where that is.
And, you know, before I became homeless back then, I had this idea from going to church and giving tithes and, you know, getting involved with different places that, you know, the homeless didn't have nothing to worry about. They had people take care of them. You know, they had nothing to worry about. I had a completely different idea about the homeless from never being there to when I got there. When I got there, I found out a lot of my thinking was not right, because what I had thought was taking care of them wasn't taking care of them. We had people dying on our streets just because they had maybe had a drink and went to a shelter and they didn't want to let them in. So rather than let them in to get them in out of the cold, they let them sit out in front of them shelters and just freeze, basically. People couldn't get coats, they couldn't get hats, they couldn't get gloves. And I said, God, there's got to be something I can do to change this, to make sure that these people living down here and in my whole city, to make sure everybody can at least be able to survive during the winter time and during the summer when it's so hot. So, you know, I talked to several of the homeless people and said, hey, you know what, I'm going to start this organization. Well, everybody laughed. I mean, you know, I should have laughed too, because here I was, a ninth grade dropout living under the Broadway Bridge, not a dime in my pocket. I had no idea what I was going to do, but you know what, I knew that God had brought me through so much in my lifetime that I knew I was going to make a difference some way. I just didn't know how at the time. So it was the middle of winter time. You got to understand, it's the middle of winter time. And I tried to find a place in El Cajon, which I did, which happened to be the Grand Avenue Temple Church. Now, I know today everybody knows Restart all over town. Well, back then there wasn't a Restart. Restart started at the Grand Avenue Temple. And I was one of the founding members of Restart back then. But even at that, when I first went to Grand Avenue, I wasn't looking to help other people. I was looking to help me. I wanted in out of the cold. I didn't want to get thrown out at 6 o'clock in the morning like everybody else out in the cold when I could have a room over my head. So I got involved there with Stuart Whitney. I don't know how many people are familiar with the Reverend Stuart Whitney, which is passed now, but he was the original starter of Restart. Anyway, one day I'm sitting in the basement of that church and I'm putting away sandwiches with this Jewish gentleman and his son brought in every day. They'd bring in, we'd feed the homeless the leftover sandwiches at night when they'd come in. We really didn't have a shelter there. We didn't have no beds. More or less what they did at nighttime was set up and play cards or watch TV or, you know, stuff like this. It gave them a place in out of the cold, but they really couldn't sleep. So I'm in there putting the sandwiches away, and this gentleman walked, his child walked up to him, a little five-year-old Jewish boy, and he said, Mr. Tripp, this is for the homeless too, and hands me this bag, his paper sack. You know, I took it. I didn't think nothing about it. I thank you, son. You know, I stuck it in my pocket. I didn't know what it was, you know. So I go back to work doing what I'm doing, you know. And Stuart Whitney shows up and he walks up to me. He said, Mr. Tripp, guess what? I said, what, Stu? Because if you knew Stu, and he gave you that look, you knew something was up. He said, we got 100 students coming down from St. Paul School of Theology. And somebody has to tell them about this place. And guess who that's going to be? I said, okay, Stu. So about an hour later, I'm sitting on a stool like this, up, and I look out. Only it wasn't quite as empty as this seems to be today.
There was 100 ministerial students out here. And they're all looking at me, and I'm looking back at them, and I'm saying nothing. I mean, it's like my throat just dried up because I'd never spoke to anybody about the homeless or anything else, you know. But for some reason, I remembered that sack in my pocket, and I pulled that sack out, and I looked in it. And to this day, I cannot forget that. You see, the Holy Spirit has a way of letting you know things. I opened that sack. What that little boy had given me was his piggy bank of change. Now, if a little 5-year-old kid can do that for somebody else, how much should we, being of age and knowing what we're doing, be doing? You know, everybody talks about homelessness, and everybody says how bad it is, and everybody wants to help, and, you know, these are just things I've seen over the years. The problem is, nobody wants it in their backyard. You get a little too close if the shelter or something ends up in your backyard. Then, you know, it's, well, get rid of them people. We don't want them people around, you know. But I got news for you. Everybody, we are all our brother's keepers. That's what I found out a long time ago, and it don't change. You know, for 30 years, we did cop stuff. We fed and clothed the homeless. You can see these pictures. That's our events going on. And I've been happy doing that. It's been an uphill fight all the way. I've had to fight the city. I've had to fight different organizations. But you know what? It always comes through, and we've always been able to make it happen. And the ones that make me feel good are them people you see on them pictures. Because we know that they're surviving because of something we've done. My people, I've had some of the best people in Kansas City on my committees to do this. I've spoken at churches, I've spoken at mosques, I've spoken at temples. You know, I'll go anywhere I can to make a difference. That's what I'm about. Now, I'm 66 years old, so I'm getting old. Here, my health is getting bad. But I am bound determined with my life to make one more big difference before I pass. And that's what I'm here today for. I need help. I need people listening to me to get out in the community and help me get this paper going. I'm calling it the Trip Magazine or the Trip Newspaper, whichever. It will be Kansas City's Poverty News and Views. Because, you know, I'm not just about homelessness. There's people out here that can't survive on Social Security. You know, they need help. Homeless people need help. People on the streets. You know, I get so tired of going up and down the roads when I'm in my car, seeing people over there holding the signs, need food, need work, you know, basically begging us to help them. That ain't right in our city. We got to do something to where we can help them survive, but with dignity. And I know that some of the hardest working people I've ever seen are homeless people. And I know if we give them that paper and we let them know that they can get out there, and you know, they'll only make a couple bucks a paper with that paper. But that's money they can buy the necessities to survive on if they're on the street. Or if they're not able to, whatever they need the money for. But at the same time, we'll be able to let our whole community know that Kansas City is a loving city. And let people know what real poverty is about. Do the stories that tells the stories of people on Social Security, the homeless, those down and out, not by really their own means, but, you know, just let people know what it's really about. Everything leads back to poverty. You know, low income, we have A good 1 in every 10 people in America today is out of work. You can't feed a family very long out of work. People say, but we got welfare. Yeah, we do. And if you're a man or woman with 4 or 5 kids and you go out and tell the welfare that you're out of work and you can't feed your kids, 90% of the time you're going to figure out a way to take your kids. I'm serious. I've seen it too many times. Because if you ain't got a job, you ain't nobody. But you know, we can make a difference. But it takes each and every one of us. This paper idea I come up with, they're doing it in major cities across the country. They do it. But you know, everybody says, but Tripp, wait a minute, you're a 9th grade dropout. You can't start a newspaper. Are you nuts? Yep, I am. I'm nuts because I know the good Lord said, if I do his work, he's going to get done. And I don't care who is in my way, it's going to get done. When I started out with COP, just to feed and clothe the homeless, everybody said I was nuts. And they're right. And I kept telling them, yeah, you're right, underestimate me. People, please underestimate me. Because when you give me a reason to fight, you don't know it, but you done lost. You just lost, because I don't give up. And this paper is going to go, but I need people to help me find reporters. I need people to help me find people to put the paper together. People that's been in the business. And yeah, I need another thing. I need them to volunteer, because you know what? I volunteer. I don't get paid a dime for anything I've ever done. We pay some of the bills we have. But as far as me personally making, I don't make a living out what I've done. For 30 years, I pulled it off. And I'm getting to where I need a salary in my old age. But, you know, the paper to me is what's the next answer for Kansas City. Because if I can make a difference to where them people on them street corners ain't got that sign begging you, but rather got a way of making a decent income. And $2 may not sound decent to you, but I got news for you. There's been a few times when I was homeless that $2 was like $1 million. But the point is, you get the information out to the public and you get people involved. Because if you're involved, then you know what's happening. I used to give speeches like when I was up with Mark Victor Hansen, the chicken soup guy, on stage with him in California. A woman jumped up, she said, Mr. Tripp, who are the homeless? And you know, I looked at her, I said, hey y'all, have you got a mirror in your purse? And she said, well, yeah. I said, open it up. She opened it up, she looks in it, she says, well, all I see is me. I said, yeah, that's right. That's all you see is you, because you see homelessness or poverty. Do not care who you are. It will get you, and 90% of the time, it will get you when you least expect it. But you got to be man or woman enough to pull yourself back up out of it. But it takes help to get back out of it. It takes normal human beings like me and you that decide that, hey, we need to make a difference for these people. Because if we help just one, it's sort of like an old law, each one teach one. And that's how we're gonna make a difference in the city. But I need everybody to get on your web pages, talk to your friends, come to my website, which is copinc.com, and I've got cards and we've got flyers, which we'll have passed out. It takes money to run an operation, so if you decide you wanna donate to somebody, go to our website, and you can donate right on the website to keep our work going on. Because we're gonna do it. You know, I don't know how I'm gonna do it. But I do know I don't give up and I won't give up. Another story. I wanna go back to the first for a second. I had started COP. We had done a couple events and I thought I was a nice guy because everybody told me I was a nice guy, you know, and everything. And One problem I had that most people didn't know about, a lot didn't know about, was I had polio when I was a kid, and I started drinking again. Now, the only time I never drunk is when I was homeless, which is odd. It's the only time, because I couldn't see myself getting up with a sign like you see some of these people. I just couldn't do it. But I had started drinking again, and I went out on a binge one weekend. What this is going to do is show you how important it is that God got me here. And I went out on this binge drinking, and I woke up that Monday morning on the floor, done fell out of bed. And I jumped up, you know, and I started coughing. I seen a little blood, you know. And I reached over the phone and I called Truman Medical Center. I said, "Hey guys, you know, I've been drinking all weekend. I just woke up. I seen a little blood. I was coughing." "Oh, nothing to worry about, Mr. Tripp. Probably just a bleeding ulcer." I said, "Oh, come see us when you can." I said, "Okay." I hung the phone up. And I walked over to the sink and I got this big, tall glass of water, cold water, and I drank it right down. Well, it no sooner hit my stomach than there was blood coming everywhere. And I mean, it was coming like that, like that, like that. So I run out and I jumped in my cab and I drove to Truman Medical Center. Now, the doctors today tell me, when you're bleeding that much, there's no way you can run out and drive from 85th and Prospect to Truman Medical Center. Nobody can do that. Well, I have a way of doing things, nobody, because I did it. And when I got down there, they threw me back in the emergency room. And the doctor come over, and I looked up at her, and I said, "Hey, Doc, you don't die from something like this, do you?" And she looks down at me, and I remember her saying, "Well, if we can't stop the bleeding, you do." Well, that's the last thing I remember. Fast forward 38 days later, I laid in a coma for 38 days. I wake up, I can't speak because they've got the trach in my throat. And she comes over and she looks down at me. And she says, "Mr. Tripp, I have no idea why God let you live through this. But I can tell you what I do know, Mr. Tripp. If you ever show up in my emergency room again, and you've got the smell of alcohol on you, the next time you wake up in my ER, there's going to be parts where they shouldn't ought to be." Guess what? That was almost 40 years ago, and I ain't had a drop in 40 years. But you see, the idea of COP had been born then, and we'd done a couple things. But after I stopped drinking, after that experience, then we got known around the world. Today, we're known around the world. I mean, you can go on the internet and you can read all kinds of stories about me. There's been all kinds of different authors write about me. And what they ain't figured out yet is I'm just normal. Just a normal person. The problem is I don't like seeing other people suffer. And when I see that, I try to figure out a way of taking care of it. And I've been lucky in my lifetime because I've got to meet a lot of other people just like me that don't like seeing other people suffer. And when we all stick together in America, the great America, we can make a difference. You just got to keep forcing yourself to make that difference. Nobody can do it for you. You got to do it. And I'm sure that the paper will get done. Anyway, anybody got any questions?
We're taking a short break. This is the All Souls Forum here on KKFI. We are listening to Richard G. Tripp. He is a storyteller and a motivational speaker. He was once a homeless person here in Kansas City. He has started an organization called Care of Poor People, Inc., and we're hearing what he has to say about that. Let's take a break. We owe you some messages. We will come back with questions from the audience for Mr. Tripp. And again, you're listening to the All Souls Forum here on KKFI.
Questions or...
Please remember the rules for questions. Come to the mic to ask your questions. One question per person until everyone has had an opportunity to ask a question, and please, no speeches. We will have, will we have some meeting time after 11?
Sure.
Okay.
I'm free.
For that kind of conversation as well.
Right.
Also, please speak clearly and into the microphone.
Could you tell us a little bit about what other similar paper you have gotten acquainted with and how they function?
Okay. Actually, there are four or five different papers I know of. The biggest one is the Contributor in New Orleans. They do, they put out like 122,000 copies every 2 weeks. They've gotten pretty big. And the beautiful thing is you not only put out the stories about poverty, but you have homeless people writing their own stories and doing poems and a little bit of everything. And like I said, you can go online, NPA National, if you punch in NPA on your computer and find the different newspapers throughout the country, there's got to be something like, I think the last thing I seen was 30 of them across the country. And in these other cities, they help a lot, and I think we could really make it work here. It's the one thing Kansas City ain't got. We've got shelters. You know, the one thing different about today than back when I started is when I started my organization 30 years ago, you didn't have people going out feeding the poor and the homeless. Not like we do today. When I started, my organization was the first one to go out on a corner and really start here in Kansas City. And today, you probably have a couple hundred different groups every week going out feeding the homeless. So it's not like it was when I started. I'm happy because a lot of people took what I did and expanded on it. And that's what it takes. And today we got, literally, if you was hungry in Kansas City, it's because you want to be, because there's just too many people will feed you in this town.
What does Kansas City do well about the homeless, and what does it not do so well?
Well, I just said, number one, you can't go hungry in Kansas City unless you want to. Kansas City really feeds the poor in this community. I mean, there, everywhere you look, there's a soup kitchen. Unfortunately, when it comes to shelter, we have two main shelters in Kansas City for men, and they're both mediocre. I wouldn't want to live in them personally, but we can always use more shelters for the poor. In today's world, unfortunately, there's more homelessness with families than there are single people, and it's getting that way in this community. We need more shelter for whole families.
I know there's programs like Hillcrest, and for the kids, there's a lot of kids that are homeless too. Do you work along with programs like Hillcrest or get the kids education?
We try to work with all organizations in town. You know, we've been, John, what's the name of that, where you went to that, the other night, the meeting you went to? Your brother's organization? Synergy with kids. We work a lot with them in the past. Great. Hillcrest is good. There's a lot of good ones, but you don't find about them unless you check them out. That's what I always tell everybody. You know, I could stand up here and say a place was the nicest place in the world. You can find out. The only way you can really tell is to go find out for yourself.
I agree with you about the men's shelters. They're either dogmatic based or it's not. They're not good.
Well, you know, the way I got started back so many years ago is it got so bad back then that I did something which was unimaginable in Kansas City, and I walked a picket on Kansas City's biggest shelter back then. And that's how I got the bad name of Trip in this town. That's how I really got started. Then everybody hated, you know, they were seeing me coming out from every bush, everything, you know, because they knew I cared about the people. I could care less about the organizations. It's the people I care about. And so that's how I got started, was being the bad guy. And I really ain't changed that much.
I do some volunteer work at a place called the Learning Club, and it's just a guy who just got a nonprofit together on his own. And a lot of those kids are going to need some kind of basic education too. I mean,
right,
so they can get out of the trap that they're in.
That's true.
You know, some great work.
Well, thank you.
How do you recommend that people respond to homeless on the streets or homeless with the signs? What should a humane response be?
Go to McDonald's, buy you a coupon book. If they ask for money, give them a coupon. If they say they're hungry, give them a coupon, because they can take a coupon, McDonald's or any of the places, and get food. I mean, if that's really what they want, give it to them, give them food. Giving them money, you got to go with your heart. You know, your heart's going to tell you what's real. A lot of people say give them money. A lot of people say don't give them money. I say if you want to get around that trap, go buy a coupon book. You know, give them a hamburger, whatever. Take them to eat. If somebody walks up to me and they say, hey, I'm hungry, could you feed me? I say, yeah, and I'd take them right to a restaurant and I'd feed them.
Kind of a techie question, I guess. We know that there's been a lot of effort to revitalize downtown in the last couple of decades. And right now the city's in the process of working a deal with a big tech firm, Cisco, to install an elaborate surveillance system. Can you say a little bit about what the view is from the bottom? I hate to say it that way, but in terms of how that development is impacting the availability of support for the homeless, downtown particularly?
Simply enough, they've tried to move all the homeless in Kansas City to one side of town, the northeast side of town. If you notice, all the shelters are, the majority of the men's shelters are on one side of town. Restart is on one side of town. They're trying to keep everybody from down where the businesses are. They don't want you downtown. It's, you know, they've hired their little guys in yellow. You see these guys out here in the yellow outfits. They just don't want you downtown. It's very easy to get arrested and thrown in jail if you go downtown. So basically, they're trying to keep everybody on one side of town. I ain't really got that figured out. I've got my own ideas on what that's about. But, you know, Kansas City is not unique to that. I mean, look at L.A. They do the same thing in L.A. They got Skid Row. So there's nothing unique about it. It's the has and the has-nots, basically.
You mentioned a coupon book. I don't understand what you're talking about. Where do you get a coupon book?
Okay, at McDonald's or any of your main restaurants, they have the books that's got like the hamburger coupons that you can trade in for a hamburger. Yeah, they really do.
So I pulled up your mobile website on my phone. I was impressed that it was mobile friendly, because most, you know, homeless, that's their only means of the internet is phone. I also wanted to ask about if you had any ideas about how the homeless are treated here on the plaza and with Highlands security, if there is anything you'd like changed.
Well, not really. I try not to get involved in that. I see the homeless on the plaza. You can go virtually under any bridge down here and find a homeless person. If you've seen that clip that we played earlier, that was done on the plaza. So they're here. I mean, anywhere you look in Kansas City, if you see a bush, even here on the plaza, that looks like it's covered down pretty much the ground, odds are there's going to be somebody living there. It's hard to believe, but it happens. If you go under them bridges down there under Brush Creek, a lot of them you'll see tents and blankets and that type of stuff. Over here at the park, you'll see it down there behind these buildings right here on Main. You'll see them back here. They're everywhere. People are going to survive. And you know, our community, you hear about a year ago, you seen where they was tearing up camps and everything. You know, that really didn't do any good, because when you take somebody's home, all they're going to do is move a few blocks down the street and start another one. You know, and they're going to survive, and that's what the name of the program is, you know, survival.
A couple years ago, KKFI and Kansas City hosted this national event, the Homelessness Marathon, and you were a big part of right. that. And so this is a national broadcast that was heard all over. And every year they highlight the plight of homeless in different cities. And when Kansas City was the city, Jeremy Alderson, the producer of the Homelessness Marathon, came. And one of the things he was pushing for, and seemed to ruffle a few feathers, was that if homelessness is this endemic, then shouldn't we find some space where they can at least, rather than hiding under bridges, have like a tent village or something
right.
like that? And there was a lot of, you know, resistance to that. I wanted your opinion of whether you think that's something that should be pursued, and what the obstacles to that would be if you do think it would be.
Well, the city says that if you try something like that, Mike. Now, my idea and his idea was a lot alike. You know, we have a lot of people out here living in their cars. Why not get a lot or something, put a couple toilets on it, facilities, and let people have a place where they could stay there in their car, which ain't bothering nobody, where they could park it without being harassed or worried about threats of harm. It's a good idea, but the first thing the city says is, oh no, we can't do that because we're worried about insurance. We'd have to have insurance on a place like that. If the shelter system in this town, if I'd go down to a nice area of town and try to put a shelter, I'd have all kinds of problems. Well, it's the same way with trying to get a lot or something where we could put up some toilets and let people stay where they were safe. The city would just come down with so many laws that you couldn't get past it. And unfortunately, it's still that way today. And, you know, I'm back to where if you got a voice in the community, then you can let the news out on what's really going on and make people think. Put this newspaper out there where people get this news, and it's not secondhand, it's firsthand, where they know exactly what's going on in the city and what the poor has to overcome in order to survive. I think that paper will be that voice that they need.
Would you say more about the newspaper? I mean, your statement within your first 20 minutes was primarily about the advantage of being able to sell the newspaper. But the fact of the newspaper is enriching to the homeless
right.
community. Would you talk more about the specifics of this newspaper?
Well, the specifics are straight. We will get the homeless to write stories for us, their own personal stories. We'll get them to write poems and you name it, anything to do with homelessness, they'll write. But at the same time, I'm looking to have writers to go and do different stories on all phases of poverty in our community. I mean, if we have a voice and we can let people know what the downfalls are and how we can help people survive that downfall, and if you got it right there in black and white, you know what's happened. And, you know, I'm planning on having the best reporters in town do this thing. We're going to put it together to make a difference. That's what it's about, is to make a difference. If we can put the news out there to where you know what's really going on. Not a bunch of fake stuff. I'm talking about real life. And that's what the Trip News is going to be about. It's going to be about real life. As I said, Kansas City's property, news, and the views. Because the views are part of the news. Anybody else? Was I that bad?
Do you have any anecdotal evidence or word of mouth of how other cities' newspapers have altered the community view?
If you're used to the internet, you can go on the internet and punch in homeless newspapers, and there's all kinds of material on the internet about it.
Richard, in reference to the newspaper and what it has in it, a lot of times the city council tries to put ordinance in it. Would that be put into the paper?
Oh yeah, that will go in there. We'll have somebody covering City Hall. You know, I don't know if you people are familiar with here a few months ago, the city council tried to pass a bill they called a food ordinance bill. I got together with a few friends of mine and we went to City Hall. And the mayor stood up there and he looked at me and he said, "We're going to pass this law today. We're going to pass this food sharing." See, what it did, what they didn't come out and tell you about, is it would have kept ordinary people like me from getting up, going out on the corner and feeding anybody. I mean, just anybody there. It would have been against law for you to go out and feed your brother in your front yard if it had passed this thing. And the way it was written up was out of this world. And they even went, I know I'm going to get flack for this, but you know, I'm here, I might as well tell it. They had certain parts of the city go around telling certain charities that they had to pass this bill, that there was no way around it. As a matter of fact, the Salvation Army got up at this hearing and made that statement that somebody had told him that they had to pass that bill. And they wasn't really liking that idea. To cut it short, the mayor said, "We're passing it." I said, "No, we're not." And guess what? They took the vote an hour later and it didn't pass. It got through out.
In some cities, they have renovated old buildings that weren't being used into decent livable rooms and given homeless people a key to their own room. And that seems to be working marvelously well. Now, what I can see, of course, is dollar signs floating across this our line of vision. But if I understood it correctly, giving people the dignity of their own place to live is cheaper than having the police pick up homeless, you know, have them taken to hospitals, have them taken to jails, and all of this.
No, it is.
Is there any movement anywhere in Kansas City about giving the homeless a place, a decent place to live? It doesn't have to be grand, just a simple place to live.
Right. Well, you know, not only the homeless, but there's a certain section of poverty in our community where poor families, they have to rent a motel room, a lot of them. They got just enough to rent that motel room, and they rent motel rooms. Well, we had an organization, River of, after the hospital. Well, anyway, there's an organization here in town that fought that by taking over an old hospital out on Raytown Road, and they're making condominiums out there for those that have to rent hotel rooms. The River of Edge or something like that. But you know, it's so much easier to house a person, to give them a room, than it is what you have to pay to incarcerate them. It's ridiculous what you have to pay to reincarcerate them compared to what you could give them just a room to survive on.
So is there any action in Kansas City to make this happen?
Well, yeah, as I said, that one place is building, they took over a whole hospital out there in Raytown.
Okay.
and they're making condominiums out there for the poor.
What do you think about the idea there are an awful lot of empty, how do we reconcile this? So many empty houses in this city with so many homeless. What do you think of the concept of squatting, of people just taking over? Like, there's a lot of homes that are, they're not homes, they're empty houses, they're not homes.
Right.
So they're owned by some bank in Germany who's, you know, it's an investment that they traded in for some, you know, debtor thing or package or something, that they have no connection to the community. What do you think about people just living in that
move
house?
In, taking over?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, wouldn't the neighbors appreciate that more than
the No, I think they would, but I knew a man, his name was Ronald Casanova. He come here 40-some years ago. Well, yeah, close to 40. And he started a place in the East Coast, Lincoln Square Park, and they started taking over housing there. And there's a lot of that goes on across the country. We ain't seen it here. But around the country, there's a lot of takeover in, where they're taking over houses, fixing them up, moving people in. The downside is, usually always, sooner or later, they got to move. They get forced out by the police. But, you know, we have so much empty housing in certain areas of this town that could be adopted to help somebody rather than, you know, hurt them. Just keeping up the property, you know, for the people in that neighborhood. I never understand, you know, we have more in America, we have more homeless houses than we do homeless people. That's, of course, that's across America. But there are more houses homeless than the people themselves, and that's ridiculous. Anybody else?
It might be useful to find some insurance companies to get involved and be willing to provide the minimum insurance for squatters.
Well, you know, as I said, this paper will give us a chance of getting all these different ideas out, and we can have meetings and come up with different storylines on what's really happening, how people think we should make a difference, you know. And that will be one of the important parts of the paper, is getting the word out. What can we do, you know? We'll have a section where people can write in when they come up with these ideas, where we can pursue it, and we'll have the reporters and the paper to pursue the different ideas, and, you know, let's get it going, people.
Good line to stop on. Thank you very much, Richard.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the program tonight. You've been listening to Richard G. Tripp. He's a storyteller, former homeless person. He has created an organization in the Kansas City area called Care of Poor People, Inc. He's also heavily involved in the homelessness marathon that we air each year here on KKFI. He's working on creating a newspaper for homeless people in Kansas City so that they can share their lives with people and make a little bit of money off of it, help sustain them. This program was recorded on Sunday, May 10th at the All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. This program is edited and produced for broadcast each week by Barry Lee. Thanks to Rita Norton and the staff at All Souls for their help in preparing this program for you each week. The theme song you are hearing in the background is composed and played and recorded by Kansas City musician Fred Potter. A reminder that you can hear this program and other podcasts of the All Souls Forum on KKFI's website on our podcast page. You can find it at www.kkfi.org. That's www.kkfi.org. We have a number of public affairs programs archived there. You can either listen to them or download them, and the same with this program. The one you heard tonight will probably appear sometime next week on our podcast site. In the meantime, indulge yourself in some of the other shows that you might have missed that we podcast here at kkfi.org. So we'll see you again next week. This has been the All Souls Forum here on KKFI. Stay tuned for American Roots, coming right up.